Luke. Back Luke 19. We're still on this place where he wept over Jerusalem. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. And I was thinking about that yesterday after Bible study, and it's also talking to us. I mean, it's if thou had known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from their eyes. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Using the morning. This was the one that's
I guess my point is how it's a deep, maybe morning is appropriate.
He was using the one, the same one that he used when he cried at the funeral for Mark, so it's the same word. I can't find it right now, but anyway, look, 2 Corinthians is essentially saying the same thing, but without the weeping.
What chapter?
Chapter 4. Let's start in chapter 3, verse 12, because it's the thought can't be really understood without that predicate. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of Scripture, the Old Testament, Torah, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And turn there is similar to the Hebrew word shub, which means that it's another word for repentance. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed or transfigured into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Remember, faint means to quit in your mind. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now here's the similar thing. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's still this idea of hid, where the it was hid is in where we are. What does it say? In back to Luke 19. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. So that idea of him weeping over Jerusalem, in a real sense, he's also weeping over we who I think it's who are lost in general terms, but who especially the so-called believers that aren't living it. There's a weeping, and I think in the spirit, in the same way for now as it was then. Anyway, that was sort of a side trip, but let's go back to Luke 19. And verse 44 actually came to pass 30-some years later, 40 years later. And even then shall they lay even with the ground. Well, that's 43. Where the day shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compasses surround thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay hold even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Well, the question is, do you now know the time of his visitation? It's the same kind of that hasn't changed. Do we know the time of his visitation, which pertain unto our peace? Remember, Jerusalem or Shalem, the part of the name of Jerusalem is peace. Now it's the Jerusalem above. All right, then let's go on to 45. Unless somebody...
Well, just, yeah, the sequence here is cool.
So you're reading ahead again.
I read the first sentence, maybe the half of the sentence.
And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Now remember, this is that period during the 10 days between where they picked out the lamb for the sacrifice on Passover. And as we've talked about many times, how did it go from them laying the palm branches at his feet and hailing him as Messiah, and 10 days later they either were silent or yelled, "Crucify him." And we're starting to find out why. So, now, let's go to John 2, I think.
I have just one comment there. You have made it a den of thieves, and I'm just thinking how eternally that's what's going on. Everything within us is trying to steal that
peace,
or sell it out, or desires of the flesh, or whatever our motivations are. A lot of thieves.
All right.
Well, what are they calling the men of the Sanhedrin who were considered holy? In a way, wasn't he basically calling them of the world and of Satan with the way they were behaving? Was that what he was saying? Made it a den of thieves?
Well, no, I mean, the reason it was made a den of thieves was because the the temple, starting probably, well, at least during the time of Caiaphas and Annas and Ananias, which were co-high priests, they had set up, they'd made an agreement with certain people. Anyway, this was a jubilee year. This was the year it all took place. And they had people coming from all the known world, that coming back to Jerusalem, not for any really good reason, but to get their land back, because that's done in the jubilee year. If they sold it or whatever. Anyway, and so the whole mystery here is you're supposed to, each family is supposed to select a lamb, watch it carefully for the 4 days, make sure there's no blemish on the lamb, and then on Passover the lamb is killed and then eaten. What happened during these times that led up to the jubilee year was they started seeing that it was going to be very difficult for people from Rome and Corinth and Ephesus and all over the place to bring their lambs with them for the sacrifice. And so they set up a deal where they were going to sell the animals for sacrifice in the temple complex. That's why it was called a den of thieves, because the high priest family, according to the Talmud, was taking a percentage of what they got when these pilgrims had to buy their lambs and other animals for sacrifice. So that's why it was called a den of thieves. Because normally, for thousands of years, or for many years anyway, the people weren't scattered all over the country, all over the world, and so they brought their own lambs that they had raised, or their own oxen, or whatever it was. They brought them to the temple from their homes for the various sacrifices. And that even made it more. Can you imagine the child whose job it was to raise the lamb? More than likely, if that was Jesus, I mean, Jesus had that job, more than likely, to work, because they all had to raise these lambs and goats and sometimes oxen. And then have to see it killed every once a year at Passover. And so that was the whole idea of the lamb for each Seder. And that's why the Seder was that number of people, because it was the number of people that could eat the lamb and everyone be full and not having any left over by the morning. So that's one of the real purposes of the Seder. So it's a corporate meal of eating the lamb. Well, so that's what Bible study is, supposedly, is a corporate meal of eating the flesh of the Son of God and drinking his blood. Now, I said a lot in that few minutes. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I definitely do. What was robbed from these thieves was that experience of sacrifice that you would get had you raised the lamb and kill it. That's a sacrifice. You go buy a lamb or whatever and kill it. It's a lamb, and they killed it, and we eat it.
Right, it's lost its strength.
The power. And sacrifice is one of the things you have to say at Passover. I mean, that's what the heart
is.
Say the word sacrifice. But that, if you don't have that experience, then the veil is still down. You are looking at it, but you don't see it.
Right, there's no life there. It's just
no life.
It's just a right.
Yeah.
RITE instead of a experience.
Yeah, exactly. So this den of thieves is a huge thing, and that's why I was getting on the sequence here.
All right.
Well, Ollie, I've not used a pun in a long time, but maybe...
Then please don't.
I think a lot of people truly felt like they were being fleeced because of the excessive...
I asked you not to do that.
He was very nice and pleased.
All right.
But that's God's very feeling of sacrifice. To lose his son. We don't have that emotional content. We're just listening to words.
In verse 45, he went into the temple. Now, this temple here, the word is Hieron. That means the temple complex. Now, all over the place, in 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 Timothy 2, when the word temple is used, when you're called the temple of God, it's not this word Hieron. It's naos. And naos is the word for the holy place. It's that temple within the temple. And in that temple, the inner temple or the holy place, was the altar of incense, the candelabra, and the showbread, the table of showbread. And then you go through the veil, and then there was the hope of the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim. Now, so this is critical because if you, as many people, the raptured believers, believe that in order for that, well, let's go to 2 Timothy. We've been here a million times, but do it again. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. Now, where the whole idea of the rapture came from and the Antichrist's activities all came from that verse. But it's the word naos there, where he sets himself up in the temple of God, not Hieron. Not the whole temple complex. And that's what this billions and billions of dollars are being raised by Christians to rebuild the temple so that Christ can return. And what that does is we have dispensationalism. So as long as you believe that you got until the temple is rebuilt and the Antichrist gets in his seat, and you know, then you have time. And so there's no urgency, there's no zeal, because you have time. Now that's why it's critical for us to see that this description we've just read of the man of sin, the son of perdition, is in the Holy of Holies and holy place. And that's in you. Does everybody understand that? This isn't the temple complex at 3.5 years he's going to stop the sacrifices. That's the prophecy in Daniel, remember. Except that they're now calling the evil, they're calling Jesus Christ on that prophecy the evil one, because they're saying it's the evil one that's to be sitting in the temple, and he is the one. Anyway, it's Christ that caused the oblation to cease, because he fulfilled it in his baptism. Does everybody understand that a little bit? Or am I going way off course?
There come a falling away.
An apostasy.
Internally falling away.
Well.
Turning back to yourself. Turning from him.
It's the falling away is that word apostasy, and it's both internal and external.
Yeah, falling away, probably apostasy is a little stronger than the falling away, what we think of as apathy or something. It's more like actually an active rebellion rebellion, whatever.
Well, but the rebellion in the case now is that it's teaching the wrong gospel. It's teaching the fastest growing whole mystery of the gospel in the world in denominations is the prosperity gospel. I had a friend call recently, a preacher that I know, that he's lost like 30% of his church to the prosperity gospel. Well, that's pretty heavy. Think about worldwide the number of converts that are leaving normal Christian life and going to these crusades so they can get rich and healed and
place to give their money.
It's all apostasy.
I was looking at the setup for number 3 is the last sentence of number 2, where the day of Christ is at hand.
Right. You can't say. And so let's start verse 1 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. And well, that's all I've been preaching, is the day of Christ is here. For 40 some years now. So I'm either totally wrong that the day of Christ is at hand, because that's all I've known to preach. But here it says don't pay any attention to anybody that says the day of Christ is at hand, unless let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away, apostasy first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Well, he has been revealed. It's you and I. And his number is 666.
That's pretty interesting that you won't see that day or won't come until the falling away. Well, that's a pretty damning thing.
Right, and that's why and all these guys, and not just in America, all over the world now, are talking about God is preparing us for the end time revival. Blah blah blah. There's no such thing as an end time revival in the Bible. There's only the end time apostasy.
interesting how that allows you to keep your belief system and your own life at the same time.
Right. That's
so
what
there's no falling away. There's an adding to self, religion, Antichrist.
Well, you're making the you're thinking that that God is going to bless the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And you're being taught that he is. If you do these things, then you're going to get blessed. No, you're not. Your only hope is that you understand what death is.
The irony is there is fulfillment of that. I mean, they don't fill up a church for no reason. Things happen, or they wouldn't come back. So that's a reality.
Let me talk to you a minute about that.
There are many, many research studies and et cetera have shown that a fairly substantial percentage of healings are psychosomatic. A fairly substantial percentage of illnesses are psychosomatic. They're induced by your own self. Well, in any random setting of people, there are about 20 to 30% of all the population are they are very easily hypnotized, and they can be and during that, assuming that person that is let me stop. Hypnosis isn't just one word. It should be 6 or 7 different words because it's different states of being. But the entrance into even any stage of hypnosis is you have to suspend critical judgment. And so that's the whole secret of televangelists. As you show these things over and over and over, and then you go have a crusade, and they've watched this thing over and over, and so by definition, they have suspended critical judgment by walking in the door. Now, once you've suspended critical judgment, then all the other stages of hypnosis can be entered into. Now, about half of that 20% are what's called somnambulists, and they can be. You could tell them, if one of you were in that state, you could be convinced if I told you that in exactly 3 minutes, President Kennedy, who's, we all know is dead, is going to walk into the room and you're going to have a conversation with him. And if you're in that state, then we could all be sitting here and watch you have a conversation with President Kennedy as if he was risen from the dead. So, and every one of those 20% of the people can, that's the ultimate stage of hypnosis, where you can have positive and negative hallucinations. You could be told that, you could be told, Joysanna isn't here. And you could, everybody, you can see her with your eyes, but the person that's in that state that was told that, she wouldn't be here. So you have both positive and negative hallucinations. But everyone that's subject to hypnosis is easily healed by suggestion. And so we've got all these people that come to the crusade or come to the churches that have suspended critical judgment, and their illness is, in many cases, real easy. It's a simple psychosomatic illness, they are healed. But what do you notice? In every one of the crusades, the people that come in wheelchairs are in a roller bed, are put at the back of the crusade so they can't almost see them. It doesn't matter whether it's outdoor or indoor. And so, and then the whole system is arranged. They don't know it, but they see what it's success. There's a sort of a the lighting becomes critical. The mono, the continual repetitive singing of certain kind of songs, all this increases this suspension of critical judgment. And so I see somebody that's healed this very minute of your stomach ailment is healed. You know, 20 people raise their hand. Remember, we did this with that guy we taught to be a televangelist. And he was an atheist. For that British... Did any of you go and see his performance up at... When they rented the Lakewood Theater?
And he,
We didn't rent it, but the British, the BBC rented it, and this sent out flyers and on doors and everything. But come and see this new televangelist, blah blah blah, and they came. He did his shtick. We sat and I spent much time teaching him to be a televangelist. he did it. Of course, the people felt like they'd been taken, but they gave all the money back. And anyway, it's just, the point is that if your mind is blinded, then anybody can do anything. Now, I don't know how I got in all that.
Well, it's the idea of the church being filled.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I do understand saying.
Same as a rock concert.
Yeah, because I was obsessed by that for quite some time from the rock and roll business.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, it's.
But I'm still trying to pinpoint this feature of that phenomena that causes people to keep coming back because something is taking place of them. Besides the healings,
right?
They feel like they're being blessed, and people talk about that all the time. Blessed,
of course.
Blessed.
That's all.
Well, then define what it is that they're feeling.
They're feeling the effect of group dynamics.
But in their own person.
That's right. Everybody.
They're getting that sense of I belong to something.
No question.
Yeah.
But it's the same phenomena that took place in my generation with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Panties were on the stage thrown, I mean, everything. That same as happened with the Beatles. The same has happened with any rock concert.
Tom Jones.
The same thing. It's just group dynamics. And you go and you feel like, hallelujah, man, I've been blessed. Well, they don't use that word. But they're blessed in that because they've stirred up all of the possibilities, the latent being of Adam.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with God. They talk about God, but what they're doing is manipulation. And you're taught, you go to seminaries, they're taught how to do that manipulation. Yes.
All this other stuff that's talking about that, but if the veil's down, you don't even know what they're talking about. You're going about your merry way and looking for another blessing.
Right, and the blessing is the same thing you would get from any kind of a group dynamic.
Yeah, so
from a football game. You know.
So Christ is not at hand. He is dependent upon a certain amount of things happening.
Right, because then you have in the religious world you have the anointing.
Yeah.
Well, I feel the anointing. Well, if you feel it and you don't feel it all the time, you're an idiot. It's just group dynamics. So, and they're trying to generate the latent power of the soul.
And that works.
Of course it works. That's why there's so much deception.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for a long time. It works for a medium. Well, it depends on. With you, it worked for quite a long time.
Yeah, I like it.
And I used to make fun of you about it. But there's a lot of people that love that scene.
Yeah. All the
No, not all men don't.
Until they've seen, until they've been converted.
Well, anyway, enough of that.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.